And it kind of comes back to what you were saying with ownership, like do what you think kind of works for you, because we're all unique in our own ways. Like it's kind
Yeah, well,
of
I mean, it isn't life just an endless management of responsibilities, you know?
it's true.
We've got all these responsibilities, and we just have to manage them.
Welcome back to the Intelligent Conversations podcast. Today, I have the honor to learn from John Gusty. After over 30 years in the entertainment industry, working behind the curtain for some of music's biggest names, John turned his attention to health and wellness in an effort to help his wife heal from what was originally diagnosed as multiple sclerosis. He soon realized that the same deceit and profit motive that plagued the entertainment media was even worse inside the medical industrial complex. John was great in this episode. We had a lot of topics that we covered, obviously covering the medical industrial complex, as well as talking about ownership and taking control of your lives and living a life on your terms. I don't want to spoil the rest of the show. John gives some great points that we can all take away. And without further ado, let's welcome John to the show. So where were you from originally?
I grew up in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay,
So,
gotcha.
I'm a West Coast guy, and Tempe, Arizona, bummed around Southern California and that territory, but once I got a taste of the South, it was like, whoa, this is a whole other world, and I like it, and it's raw, it's real.
It's a lot greener as well.
It's a heck of a lot greener. Yeah, I got the seasons. The physical geography of it all is a plus, but what I really love the kind of the mental, the mindset of it all. You just got a much more I don't know, just a much more open-minded, accepting. I guess that would be the, pound for pound, no matter what direction you walk, you're going to encounter a human that's going to accept you
Yeah.
regardless of.
No, I know what you mean, right? It's
Yeah.
I had a family member say that out here in Utah, you had to, like, yeah, you go to the grocery store and say, "Hi, what's up? How are you doing?" But then, right, when you go to the grocery store in Tennessee, it's like you got to plan for an additional 5, 10 minutes
Oh
because
my
you're
gosh!
having
So yeah, you'll get into a 30-minute conversation just paying for gas, just because.
a.
And I love that, just because it's real. I mean, the art of conversation is very sacred to me, and so when somebody wants to take time to talk, I take that very seriously, and it's cool. We're losing that. I actually was just out in Arizona this past week, and it's just and I drove out there. And it's just funny, the further west you go, it's like the less and less friendly it gets. It's it,
Interesting.
yeah, and it and it's I don't know if friendly is the word. Yeah, friendly is in there, but like it's just it's it. People look down; they don't look you in the eye. It's not as personable, It's like the interactions are very temporary, and it's like I said, here in the South, you can stop in a gas station you've never been to and go to pay for your gas, and you've got somebody on the other. It's usually a large black Southern woman I love, which are and they're calling you honey and sweetie and hugging you. It's like I'll take that any day. So.
It's just there's more, it's more hospitable, I
No,
would say.
absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah, that's for
times
sure.
times 10. Yeah, times 10.
It's awesome. Well, I'm excited. I'm really am excited because when I initially saw like just a little blurb they gave about you, they had you are kind of against the medical
Industrial complex.
industrial complex, and I've never heard that. I've heard of military, but I haven't heard of the medical one. So I'm kind of curious what is that and how is it affecting us?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's a huge topic. So, all right. So, the reason why I and I'm not the only one. I'm far from the only one. But the reason why I use the term the medical industrial complex is because I let's start from the very, very, very beginning, because I really want to give you a decent explanation of this. Ideology. I'm big into ideology. I think that it's kind of all we have as humans, mm-hmm. is our ideology. And my ideology does not have to line up with your ideology for us to have a relationship. You know, I mean, it's perfectly fine for, you know, you to not like the things that I like, or me to not like the things that you like. And I'm not driven, like a lot of people are, to try to convince you to like the things that I like. And so, ideology is a huge, subject matter that I don't think gets talked about in mainstream normie America in the way that I think that it should. I think when people hear the word, they hear words like religion, they tend to think, oh, Christian, you know, or maybe Jewish, you know, and maybe a few more. But religion is just the belief in a higher power, a higher authority. And that's it. Like if you believe in a higher authority other than yourself, and there's some sort of doctrine around it, that's religion. And so there's all types of religions. And I would argue that hands down, one of the most I've encountered a lot of religions in my day, but the only one that seems to have constantly, again and again, repeatedly messed with me and others around me and has imposed its religious beliefs onto me and makes the assumption that I think in this particular case of this religion, I think the assumption is made that everyone belongs to it. And that is the religion of statism. And that is the belief in the state. Here in the United States, it would be the belief in the District of Columbia. It's got all the earmarks of classic religion. You've got sacred texts, you've got robes, you've got chants, you've got vows, you've got beliefs in higher power. One of the things that I try to bring up in just about every conversation that I have about this kind of stuff is, do you believe as a human being that you and other human beings have the right to walk up to another human being and declare non-consensual authority over them? And I think most reasonable people would answer that question, no. You do not have the right to walk up to another human being and go, I have authority over you. Consensual authority is another issue. If you've got an island, Josh, and I'd like to live on that island, and in order to live on that island, I have to agree that you are... It's your island. It's your rules. You know, I think as kids, we probably all heard some form mm-hmm. of you're under my roof.
it's my rules.
That type of thing. I would consent to live on Josh Island if I wanted to, as long as there was a way out too. Like if I lived on Josh Island and I lived there for a couple of years and it wasn't really going the way I wanted to, I would want to be able to leave Josh Island. You know, and so consent is a big thing. So you've got this religion of statism where people honestly believe, and in the case of, you know, the District of Criminals here in the state, they actually believe that they are chosen by God in a lot of cases to rule over their subjects. I mean, that's certainly the crown. The crown in the UK, I mean, that they're straight up about it. I mean, they will basically say their bloodline is ordained by God to rule over their subjects. And I kind of find that offensive. And I don't know how in this, you know, last several years, we live in this like cancel culture where everybody gets bent out of shape about anything and everything. How in the world does the crown and does the District of Columbia get a pass? Because they're openly saying we're ordained by God to rule over you people. And so the medical industrial complex exists inside that paradigm. And it is and I guess when you are religiously manipulating people into I don't know, singing songs or saying chants or prayers or whatever, that's one thing. But when you are manipulating people into behaviors that are harming them physically and in a lot of cases killing them, I take great offense to that. My wife My wife of 20 plus years has, for the last 15 years, existed in an electric scooter, hasn't been able to take a walk on her own. She was originally diagnosed. We could have a whole conversation around that word, with what they claim to be multiple sclerosis. Since figured out it's many other things. Multiple sclerosis is just one sort of vague term that the people with white coats and letters after their name throw you into if they don't really have any exact answers for you, and you get prescribed these awful chemical concoctions from the pharmaceutical industry, which is part of the medical industrial complex, and rarely do you ever get any better. So it's kind of like, I don't know, that business model is almost like subscription through prescription, and just like any other subscription, you don't really get anything of lasting. You don't own anything when you subscribe to something. You don't really own it, you know. You know people. I'm a huge music nerd. If you saw my house, it looks like a musical museum. I've got physical media everywhere, and you know, if somebody were to ask me, show me your music collection, I could show you. I'd say, what format? Pick a format. Let's go look at it. I've got two boys, two sons of mine, 18 and 26, and they grew up with a musical nerd nut father like myself. And even them, who grew up around tons of music, if you ask them to see their music collection, they will hand you their fondle slab and go, here it is. And they don't actually own any music. And so anytime you subscribe to something, you don't actually own it. And if you're subscribing to prescriptions and stuff like that, you're not really owning your health.
I agree. That is interesting. I never thought of it like that. And same thing, you mentioned the music. I just have an Apple Music subscription. And when people ask me for my playlist, it's like, yeah, this is what I got right here.
But what if just tomorrow, and you nor I would have any control over this, what if the powers that be at Apple just decided to close up shop, or what if what if your device just stops working, or you know, what if there is, you know, some big super scary EMP event where all electronic devices are wiped out? You know, it's like you don't have access to, you only have access to your music. You don't have ownership of your music. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I agree with that statement too. I think.
Whereas, you know, my copy of, you know, Led Zeppelin one on vinyl, CD, 8-track cassette, or whatever format you want it on, I can put it in your hands and say, here you go, man. Yeah, I could lend it.
How would we get this digitally then? Like, cause I mean, I love technology and it's just easy to use, right? Where I can have phone.
I think when history looks back on this phase of human existence, I think the word convenience is going to be considered maybe a sin, you know, because we en masse give up a lot of independence and ownership for the sake of convenience. A lot of people will, you know, I just drove from Nashville to Phoenix, Arizona, and I did the drive continuously. It's a 26 and a half hour drive. I did it continuously out there. Went to an event out there that was very important to me and drove 26 and a half hours back. And a lot of people were like, why didn't you just fly? To which I was like, well, do you remember the last 3.5 years we just went through? You know, did that get lost on everybody? The airline industry was incredibly complicit in the events of 2020 forward, to the extent where you couldn't use their goods and services unless you injected yourself with these mystery government medical industrial complex toxins that, you know, in order to use their goods and services. And I find that incredibly offensive just on the surface. And but they also, that particular industry inflicted it upon their employees as well. And so you had a little less than half of the pilots say, screw that, I'm not doing that. And they peaced out and did something else with their lives. So it left a small pilot pool of which conformed and did what they were told, like good little corporate slaves would. And a third of those people are now dead. And so there's a huge pilot shortage, and you've got constant stories in the news now of, you know, these pilots, these remaining pilots having medical incidents, 30, 40,000 feet up in the air. I don't know that, you know, that doesn't make me It doesn't entice me to want to get on one of those vessels and use those, that industry's goods and services. So I don't know, man, it's, you know, the medical industrial complex is part of the religion of statism. And it's just, I'm not a religious guy. Religion is always man-made. And that doesn't mean that I'm not a spiritual guy. It doesn't mean that I don't have, I have a huge place in my head and in my heart for spirituality. But my spirituality is not anchored in any man-made paradigm, you know. And all the religions that I'm aware of are all man-made. And that's I don't know. Life has not played out and borne out to me that man-made religions have done a whole lot of good. They haven't caused a lot of good. I've seen them cause a lot of divide, but and statism is at the top mm-hmm. of that divide pile. Statism. I mean, look at how many people in both of our lives and anybody watching or listening to this, we all have numerous examples in our lives of people who are divided by the religion of statism. I mean, there's people who literally choose their friends whether they're red or blue. And
that's ridiculous.
It's absolutely insane to me that people would do that, because we don't do that in other things. It's like, you know, I mean, let's pick other topics. Sushi. I mean, do you like sushi?
Oh, I do, actually.
I do too. So I guess we can be friends, you know. But what if, you know, but what if you answer that question, no, I hate sushi? It's like, we could still be friends, you know.
Or, exactly. Or,
right. I happen to think Oasis is one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. You know, you might not even care who they are or even know who they are.
I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, okay. So. All right. Well, again, we can still be friends, because that's all right. But, you know, if somebody says, I'm blue or I'm red, you know, it's like, oh, my God. we're either the best of friends, or you're my mortal enemy. And it's like, what a narrow-minded, almost closed-minded, just robotic, religious way of thinking.
I agree. No.
And that just never ends well.
I like that last phrase you used, robotic. Like, I actually do like machines. They're fun to play with. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're awesome. But I can see where I like to use this saying where machines are precise. If you need a specific thing done, like, they're helpful, they're great to use, but like, humans are just like, we're creative and we can do awesome things. And I think that's,
I do like machines, aka technology. I mean, I would much rather use a power drill than hand drill something. You know, if you're hanging up a lot of things, or you're building a shed or something, I want a power drill. I want to.
Oh yeah.
Hand screw. So in that case, you know, technology helps us get the job done quicker and more efficiently. But at some point, if I built myself a robot to build that shed for me, I'm not even building the shed anymore. You know, I mean, so it's kind of like, I don't know. I think technology is like anything else. It's like it's agnostic. It's neither good nor bad. It's how it's applied. And if you can apply too much technology to anything, just like you could apply. I mean, you can drink too much water, you know,
it's true.
You can get too much sunlight. You know, these are things that we all know are inherently good, but you can do too much of them. And so I think we're just living in an age right now where there's too much technology, and it's not the technology's fault. It's the people who it's, I don't know. There's almost like a convenience addiction. Mm-hmm. And people need to control their addiction, because sometimes take the stairs, because, you know, maybe you need to lose a few pounds. Although the elevator sure is convenient technology, take the stairs. It's going to be better for you, you know, because you went to Dunkin' Donuts maybe too many times for the last, I don't know, previous 3, 4, 5 years. So take the stairs, you know, and it's just how do you responsibly apply technology, just like you would use any other responsibility. You just have to apply it in a measured way, or you're going to get bad results if you overdo anything.
And it kind of comes back to what you were saying with ownership, like do what you think kind of works for you, because yeah. We're all unique in our own ways. Like maybe for some people, being out in the sun, like I have a cousin who's not, I'm actually going to see him soon, but he's just red haired. He gets too much sunlight. He's done for, right? So for him, it's like, oh, maybe don't get out there in the sun that much. But for maybe other people, it's like, yeah, sure. Go out in the sun, get some vitamin D. It's good for you. I think find out what works for you and then own it. It's
isn't life just an endless management of responsibilities, you know?
That's true.
We've got all these responsibilities, and we just have to manage them.
So at what point do we delegate some of these responsibilities to like other people?
Well, let's take health and wellness, for instance. I mean, I see a lot of people delegating that, which I would argue is probably the most raw and primal responsibility we've all been given. But how many people delegate that to a commercial third party? I mean, you mentioned the term healthcare to a lot of people these days. And what people think healthcare is some sort of benefit that they get from their employer in order to gain access to the medical industrial complex corporate suite of garbage services that aren't going to help you anyways. I mean, you get their doctors, you get their pharmacists, you get their pharmaceuticals, you get their surgeries, you get their radiation. And it's like, but to a lot of people, that's healthcare. And I would say healthcare starts when you open up your eyes in the morning, and it doesn't end when you close your eyes at night, because you need to make sure you're sleeping in a healthy environment. I mean, I see people all the time that I know that are irritated and they can't sleep and they don't know what's wrong, and you go and you look at their sleeping scenario, and they've got electronics all around them, and you know, they don't pay attention to the wiring in their walls, and they're just bathing in radiation. It's this electronic radiation all the time, 24/7. Rarely do they actually see darkness, and they don't understand the circadian rhythm, and they don't know that, you know, that even the smallest little photon of light is triggering your brain to think it's a particular time of day. And, you know, that's why we need to sleep in darkness. And so, you know, people relegate the responsibility of healthcare to a third party almost in mass. I don't know. I think you asked what about delegating some of this stuff out or outsourcing it? And I'd be, you know, I guess we'd have to take it piece by piece to see. Cause yeah. I would never outsource my healthcare to anyone but me, because I know what my healthcare is, and I know what I want, and I know what I don't want. And there isn't a commercial third party that can come in and tell me what's best for me. I could seek counsel if there's something I don't know or understand. I could seek counsel and go, hey, I don't understand this particular topic. What do you think? You know, but I'd be hard pressed before I delegate that out to a third party. I'm going to want to have control over it myself, so I can, you know, manage it and be responsible with it.
I like that last part too, where you said where you're open to counsel as well. Cause sometimes I'll see online, some people are like, oh no, like never trust these. I'm like, no, these guys have studied something, like some parts of the body very in depth. And they probably know what the heck they're talking about. And that's the thing. But I like your approach where it says, oh, we should go out and seek counsel rather than, oh, this is just how it's done type of thing.
I think we should be open to counsel for anything. I mean, there's, you know, not every auto mechanic knows everything there is to know about cars. You know, not every carpenter knows everything there is to know about building. Not every, you know, not every, you know, computer IT guy knows everything there is to know about that world. Everyone should be open to counsel because none of us know it all. None of us know it all. But I think a lot, far too many of us are afraid to state what we do know. And there are a lot of things that I do know. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in the same room with a medical professional. And, you know, and I don't mean to sound arrogant or anything, because, you know, for the last 20 plus years, I've learned an awful lot of stuff just being on the front lines trying to help my wife get better. But like, I've learned a lot of things. And I bet you 85% of the time that I'm in the room with and it's not often because I don't deal with that world, but like 85% of the time that I'm in a room with a doctor, I probably know more about the subject matter at hand than the doctor does. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. The difference is I have the ability to learn anything I want to about that particular subject, where a medical doctor is kind of trapped inside of a template, an industry template that they can't really go outside of. And when they do go outside of that industry template, a lot of them get chastised and some of them get fired. Some of them lose their gig because they've dared to go outside of the template. And so one of the things that I think is lacking it's actually non-existent. It's not lacking. It's non-existent inside the medical industrial complex is allowing the people that work in that arena to be creative. You've got to be able to explore before you can find out and know. And there's not a lot of allowed free creative freedom in the medical industrial complex. It is stick to the script, conform or go away.
So what do you mean by like there's no creative form? Because I think, I mean, especially, I mean, just on, I agree with you on the point where like some drugs, it's like, yeah, just you wouldn't be on some of them if it weren't for like if you took care of some of these lifestyle choices beforehand. However, some of them, like maybe they're born with some kind of weird disease or whatever it may be. It's like the only option type thing. And that took some creative juices or creative brain power to come up with that. So I'm kind of not understanding what you mean by.
Well, when you say come up with, are you talking about like pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, I'm kind of.
Okay, so I would say pharmaceuticals are never the option. There is a pharmaceutical of any kind is ultimately only going to be a Band-Aid. Because if you're using, first of all pharmaceuticals are unnatural, all of them. There is no such thing as a natural pharmaceutical. And so anytime you introduce anything unnatural into a natural environment, there's going to be ramifications. And a lot of times those ramifications are negative. And so we've all known people that have really expensive saltwater aquariums or aquariums of some kind, right? And you have to be very, very careful about what goes in those aquariums. And you wouldn't even take, I'm not even going to limit it to unnatural. I'm going to just say foreign. Because like, let's just say you've got this beautiful saltwater aquarium. I happen to be a huge fan of kombucha. I drink a bunch of kombucha. I love kombucha. Kombucha is 100% natural. Right?
Nice.
I would never walk up to a saltwater aquarium and dump some kombucha in there. Okay. You've got a natural environment and you're taking a natural thing and you're putting in it, but it's a foreign substance to that natural environment. And there's going to be ramifications. Fish are going to get sick or die, or the plants or the coral are going to react in some way to that foreign thing coming in. So I would say, all pharmaceuticals are at best a foreign, sometimes toxic, most of the time toxic, option when what you should be seeking is what is causing, before you go and put in an artificial foreign substance to take care of an issue, find out what that issue is and what's causing that issue and try to address that issue naturally, as opposed to just defaulting to some man-made foreign, quite possibly toxic option. So I don't know that it did it take creativity to come up with that foreign toxic option. I mean, you could look inside, you know, some psychopath serial killer's bedroom, and I'm sure there's creativity in there somewhere.
That's true.
But is it necessarily a positive, you know, when the end result is, you know, dead people? So
that's true. I agree with that. And
yeah, who was the serial killer with the clown? Was it Wayne Gacy or whatever?
Oh, I have no idea.
lots of creativity there, no doubt. You know,
read some of those stories and they're definitely creative, and you're like,
crazy creative. Yeah.
But not necessarily.
It didn't really work out so well.
So,
I don't know, but I do know that when you're trying to solve a problem, let's just take it out of the medical or the health and wellness field. Whenever you're trying to solve a problem, you've got to be able to be creative. You have to try things. You have to go, is this going to work? Well, no, it didn't. Okay, but now you know what it wasn't, you know? Okay, so let me try this. And that's creativity is the freedom to try things. And when, even if you try something and it doesn't work, well, at least you learned what it wasn't, and you can check that off the list. And at some point you're going to whittle it down and you will get to the root cause of whatever it is you're trying to solve.
Gotcha. And you're kind of saying to do this more on your own rather than like seek counsel from someone else.
Well,
to do
I
this.
Just don't think your average medical professional doesn't have they're not allotted the time. You know, I mean, I think most people who have ever been through the process of going to a doctor's office know that, you know, at best, what are you in the room with the actual doctor, you know, but a few minutes, you know, and so they don't have the time, because on that particular day, they're seeing, you know, 25, 30 people like you. There's pumping people through there. So they don't have the time to be creative, but even if they did, they're not allowed to be creative, because I'm being ridiculously silly, but let's just say that, you know, I'm the doctor and you're the patient and you have this crazy skin issue or whatever. Let's just say that I know that, you know, I heard from my great, great grandmother years ago that if you put, you know, German mustard on it, it'll clear it right up. Well, a doctor can't tell you that. Because he or she would be thought of as a quack, or, oh, are you kidding me? But what if that was the answer? You know, what if that worked? And there are a lot of solutions. I mean, I'll roll a couple of them off right now. I mean, I've got a big dog lover. I've got a German Shepherd and a Husky that are just, they're my girls. I love them to death. And I live here in the South, and there's lots of bugs here in the South, and, you know, fleas and ticks. I've never had a flea and tick problem with my dog and either of my dogs. And the reason why, and I've also never used any flea and tick products on them, because things like Frontline and the mainstream options for fleas and ticks, if you look closely at the fine print, they're neurotoxins. You know, they actually, anyone can go to the store and look on the Frontline packaging, and it tells you, the human, to wear rubber gloves while applying this stuff. Yet you're putting it on the skin of your dogs, you know, and cats. It's a freaking neurotoxin. Well, I don't doubt that neurotoxin probably does do the job and takes care of fleas and ticks. But it's also, you know, if you had, you know, cockroaches in your kitchen, you know, I could burn down your kitchen. That'll take care of your cockroach problem. But was that the best way to take care of it? You know, no. I, on the other hand, took the time and researched and sought counsel and asked people what they were doing naturally to take care of fleas and ticks. And it turns out you can buy a little, 1 ounce bottle of an essential oil called rose geranium oil. It smells wonderful. You put it on just like you would put on Frontline. You squeeze it into the little back of their scruff of their neck and the base of their tail, maybe put a little bit on their belly. And oh my gosh, no fleas, no ticks. And that little bottle of rose geranium oil costs about $10. Those dispensed boxes of Frontline and things like that are up around $100, And that little bottle of rose geranium oil will last me probably four seasons. Not a bad $10 for 3-4 seasons worth of flea and tick control versus, $300 or $400 that I would be paying the, medical industrial complex pet division, for the same result. And my dog doesn't have neurotoxins being put on it. So I don't know. There's usually almost always a natural non-toxic solution to most problems.
I think that's cool that you found that. So kind of on the other end of this, I'm with you. I like creative problem solving, but sometimes those creative problem solving, like it gets a pretty, like almost a bad effect as well. So how can, I mean, at what point, like, I think we kind of feel a sense of we want to blame someone or blame something sometimes.
Blame's a
bit. Yeah, we want to play the blame game.
Yeah, blame is huge, because God forbid we take ownership of things.
Yeah, so who's, I guess, responsible in those scenarios when maybe let's say we try a natural way and it goes horribly wrong?
Well, see, responsibility, I think the bigger conversation is about responsibility and blame just in general, because look at how much of our life is controlled by corporations. I mean, even what we call government is actually corporations. Okay, so everything is corporatized. And it takes about 10 minutes of surface level research for anyone to come to the conclusion that a corporation is a fictional entity. Okay, it's on paper. It exists only on paper. And the only reason why one would start a corporation is to avoid responsibility. It's the only reason why corporations have ever existed, is to avoid the responsibility, aka the liability of, you and I would start a corporation and it would be the John and Josh LLC, limited liability corporation, and so the eschewing or the avoiding of responsibility seems to be a huge part of our modern day existence. People don't want to take responsibility. People don't want to own the responsibility. People don't want to manage the responsibility. A lot of people don't like responsibility you see that playing out in the narcissism, we're just marinating in narcissism. So, but a lot of people don't want responsibility. They want someone else to shoulder their responsibilities for them, hence healthcare and all that stuff. And yet they're marinating in narcissism because it's all about me. Read what I wrote. Look at this picture of this, my dinner that I just posted. If I knocked on your door at 10 o'clock at night and you were like, John, what do you want? And I'm like, Josh, look at this picture of this steak I just cooked. People do that on social media. Like it's you here, or I just wanted to show you this picture of my kid on first day of school. You're like, dude, I love you, but I really don't care to see your kid's picture on the first day of school. It's cute and all, but you outside of you and maybe your parents, none of the rest of us care about that stuff. So you've got this, you've got this massive dynamic in our society anymore where responsibility is shied away from, and narcissism, and a lot of people are just marinating in narcissism. It's all about them. Listen to them, hear them, feel them. What about their pain? What about their inconvenience? What about their feelings? You know, and it's very messy to walk through those waters for a lot of people. And because how do you deal with people who don't want to own their own responsibilities yet feel that the society or life in general owes them attention and passion, yeah, compassion and all of this. And I'm not saying that I'm not compassionate, and I am, but like I don't owe anybody compassion. I give compassion because I'm a kind person. But if somebody came up to me and said, "You owe me compassion," I'd be like, "Yeah, you know what, buddy? I'm a finger on either hand. Which one it is?"
That's good. I like that. I do. So I guess maybe the right question, kind of with what we're talking about, is, let's say like we go and seek counsel from like a medical professional, someone that studied, and they recommend this. Mm-hmm. At that point, is it their fault or is it your fault for taking their advice and taking?
Well, I mean, we all have the ability to seek counsel, and we all have the ability to act or not act on that counsel. And so ultimately everything is our
response. Our fault.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately everything we are all exactly where we're at because of decisions and choices that we made. And I do understand that there are some people that are in some awful situations due to circumstances they had nothing to do with. I get that. I know that exists, but 9 times out of 10, those are temporary scenarios. You know, that's, you know, the person with an abusive spouse who, you know, just got thrown into a really awful situation. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but I'm talking more in the macro, you know, in the macro. Mm-hmm. We are all exactly where we're at because of decisions we made, and temporarily we get ourselves into situations that we don't choose to be in, but you know, even then we've got the choice to get out of it. And you know, and again, it's, I think most people find what I just said, maybe not most, but a lot of people find what I just said maybe a bit offensive, but we're responsible for us.
I like that. I do. And on that note, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it's a phrase that starting to come to my mind more often is, when you're born, like where you were placed, like that, none of that is your fault. Like that's an like where we are today, even as a society, is an accumulation of decisions everyone's made, and even yourself. And where you're at today is an accumulation of decisions you've made to get you to that point. And yeah, and it's this complex web of all these decisions being made by other people, yourself, and
yeah,
that leads us to where we go.
Yeah.
Well, John, I appreciate this. This was fun.
Absolutely. And
I mean it. And I learned a lot. I didn't and helped me make some sense of some things as well. So yeah.
Well, look, if you or your listeners are at all interested in any of the things that were mentioned today, if you go, wrote this little book called The Red Pill Revolution, and the redpillrevolution.com website is a place to go. It's a place where I archive news stories that I just feel need to stick around, because a lot of times stories get memory holed and taken down, and so I want to provide a place where some of these pieces of history get saved. They're saved, and no one can take them down except for me. But I put together the Red Pill Anti-Dependency Guide. And if you just go to theredpillrevolution.com/guide, you can download it for free. There's no, I'm not trying to sell you anything, and won't spam you with a bunch of crap. But it is a, I hope that even the most learned or skeptical person can look through that guide and it just walks you through some aspects of life, water, light, EMF, electrosmog, grounding, healthcare, sourcing, physical goods versus digital goods, media, commercial versus private, and it ends on the huge topic of consent. And in every one of those categories, it give you like three or four real life things that you, I, anybody can do to just take back a little more ownership of ourselves. And at the end of the day, that is really what I hope conversations like these result in, is if one or, you know, if even just a couple people go, yeah, man, I would like to be a little bit more in control of myself and my life. And it's completely possible. I think when you start rolling down that hill of sovereignty, people are always so surprised to go, you know, I can't believe how much of my life I just thought I had to do. When you open up your eyes a little bit, you don't have to do a lot of these things that you think you do. And you've actually got a lot more power. Each of us have a lot more power over our own existence than we give ourselves credit for. And I hope that guide starts to, you know, spark some ideas in people and encourage them to just take ownership of you. You know, I mean, it sounds silly, it sounds cheesy, but a lot of people are really, really controlled, and they're really conditioned, and they're really boxed into these mental and sometimes physical paradigms. And you don't have to be. We're free human beings. Life is pretty awesome when you don't have all these control mechanisms just manipulating you every step of the way. So if you want it, like I said, go to theredpillrevolution.com/guide and hopefully there's some awesome things in there that inspire you to just be a little bit more in control of yourself.
That's awesome. And I mean, that's literally the message of the day, too, is to take ownership and live a life that's worth living, right? Like, if you're not enjoying life, that's your fault.
Well, this is like so many things, you know, this is a limited engagement, you know, let's enjoy it, you know, and there's a lot of stuff out there to enjoy. You know, I really do believe that although there is a significant segment of our population that are really controlled, they're just religiously controlled by, you know, corporate forces. Even those people who are controlled, the majority of people in mass are good. You know, the percentage of people that are out there that are evil, the people that would really cause you harm, tiny. That's a tiny percentage of people. You know, the vast majority of people are good. You know, they're just distracted by stupid crap like cable news and, you know, whoever at the next season of America's Next Top President or what, you know, whenever. I think that show's starting up soon. Are we starting a new season of that soon?
Yeah, probably. I don't watch much of that. Yeah. But.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be an exciting season. This time, if you just vote harder this time, I'm sure this time things will be better. So
that's what keeps it coming back, right?
Yeah. Anyways, buddy, thank you so much for the time, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, of course. No, happy to have you. I enjoyed this as well, and I appreciate you, John, for taking the time to come on the show today.
Right on, brother. All right.
All right, everyone, as you can tell, that is John Gusty. He's a very intelligent person, has great things to share. I challenge you guys, if anything spoke to you today or you liked what he said, to take him up on his offer. John gave you the information there to reach out to him and find the content that he puts out there. Stay tuned until next week. We have a great guest lined up for you guys. See you guys next week, and let's get after it. Hey everyone, if you liked this episode and would like to hear more, be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. We release a new episode every Wednesday for you guys to listen to. Thank you guys so much for the support that you give. We could not have done this without you guys. If you would like to be a potential guest on the show, check out intelligentconvos.com and fill out the form there. Thank you guys again, and let's get after it.